Welcome to the Pirates Overboard podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostwick, joined alongside Jonathan Luters. We are two student athletes excited to sit down with fellow Pirates to talk about their experience here at the Hall and learn more about them on a personal level. Go check out and follow the Pirates Overboard Instagram page for all of our content. And if you want to go watch our podcasts, go to our YouTube page at Pirates Overboard. So let's get into it.
Alex Nicolosi is a grad student athlete pitcher for your Seton Hall Pirates baseball team. With many years of experience under his belt, we had a great conversation with Alex, better known to his teammates as Tony, about his high school career, his Seton Hall University experience on the baseball team, his favorite memories, his advice to student athletes, and much, much more. Alex has been a leader both on and off the field, in the locker room and on the diamond, and we are excited to have him on board with us today. So without further ado, Alex Nicolosi.
Welcome, Alex Nicolosi, to the podcast. Episode 41 that we did the math on. We're finally all back together. It's been so long. We've had spring break. I've had Big East Championships. The two baseball guys here on the show with us have been down in Florida. So first things first, Alex, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Can't complain. How about you guys?
Fantastic. I cannot complain as well. Being now a retired student athlete. A little bit of a weird feeling, but got to watch you guys play today. You played Stony Brook, so react on this weekend series and kind of talk about what you guys saw, both of just instant reactions.
You want me?
Go ahead, yeah.
I'll take it. Bittersweet. Definitely a lot of bright spots to take out of it. We didn't obviously win the series like we wanted to, but I think today was definitely a big step in the right direction. We had some tough battles. We faced some good pitching. They were a scrappy team. But I think this was definitely a big one moving forward because as much as we wanted to take the series, like I mentioned, I think that winning this game is definitely going to help us moving forward, propelling us to hopefully some more wins with a five-game homestand coming up,
yeah,
I believe.
Right.
So that'll definitely be good.
Yeah, that's definitely huge.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything what Tony said. I think Coach Sepp said that, like, the toughness of the team, like, you can't just, like, lay down. You lost the first two. Like, you have to stick it and, like, win it, especially at home. Winning one, like, especially like on a Sunday, like when all of them are close games, one-run games, could be on either way. Like, we have to keep our morale up and keep it going. So taking today was super, super important. I think it was a must-win game for us, even though it's non-conference. All this, like, it didn't matter. Like, that was a must-win game. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and I got to watch both games this yesterday and today. I was the DJ today back in the soccer score booth. Couldn't see anything from back there.
Oh man,
but
the batter's eye. Yeah.
I thought you were behind the plate.
No, I wish, because I would have been able to see so much better. Pete Long, your SID is like radioing, play like happy music or play this music, play that music, or like when Alex, who pinch hit for Pat D'Amico today. I'm drawing a blank on his last name. Alex.
Oh, Joey Calabrini.
Joey Calabrini. Comes up, he's like, Joey's up, play his music, okay, great, and I'm looking on my scorecard to change it, then all of a sudden, he's in the batter's box ready to go, and Pete's like, cut the music, and I'm like, so that's on me.
No, hey, that's not, there's a lot of moving parts to that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I kind of, we always said for the longest time, when Bobby Shep was our Dobo last year, uh-huh. We would say, like, hey, like, the music sounds great playing it back there. Let's do that. But then we had to find out that you need someone back in that one to control forward. So I didn't know that was even going on. I thought maybe they finally figured something out between the whole press box situation. Feel bad for you.
Well, apparently, on the first game, the speakers blew out in the front half of the stadium. That's why we were playing in the back half of the stadium.
With the national anthem and the guys running out.
Something like, I don't know. Something with the speaker system in that first game made us have to go back in the back batter's eye.
But it was fine. Like, the first game, it kind of was a little fuzzy. Second game was fine. And today, like, when we announced all the guys.
Oh, yeah. Guys were running out. It was like, and batting fifth, playing shortstop. And I'm just like, I'm like, come on.
But, yeah, that's made the little technical difficulties, but overall, fantastic.
Yeah, all good. I didn't want to skimp on this. Like, you pitched awesome today.
Yeah.
That was huge for us, getting the win. You earning the win today. Big moment for us, like, as a team, obviously, as I just mentioned before, taking the Sunday game. What was kind of your mindset going into today? I guys want to hop right into it and then we'll go back to the high school and all the background stuff.
Yeah.
Coming to a big situation, closing out a game. I know it's, like, not as much, like, the role we've had in the past. Now kind of like moving to a role where, versus UNF, you're closing out in three innings today, closing out. How does that feel for you?
You know, it was good, especially a little bounce back from last outing. I think the biggest thing today was, like, you come in, and this is a big thing with something you probably do in the box, too. It's like you get in there, runner on second, and you know it's like it's late in the game, big situation, you need to get two outs. Not thinking that you have to do too much and just do your job. And I think the second you start thinking too much, is which I've done in the past, and that's what a lot of the failure is in the sport, is when you think too much and you think certain things and you try to plan too far ahead, usually the opposite happens. So I think the biggest thing was kind of not forgetting the situation, but letting me just trust working with Melnick catching back there and making sure I just execute a pitch at a time and not getting too far ahead. And obviously still worrying about the runner on second, but trying not to make it too much of a deal. And it works when I have you back there, you know, working. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't try to do any picks or anything, because maybe I would have balked or something, but it was good. It's good. It helps when you have a good group of guys behind you, too, that trust you and a good dugout. So it's awesome.
No, it's always fun when you pitch, and I wanted to make sure we acknowledge that before moving on to the high school and college background. So without further ado.
One more comment on today's game. It was rowdy over there. Like, I can hear you back from the behind the batter's eye. Like, I opened the window up, like those last two innings where you guys were going crazy, especially bottom eight where they worked the walk, or maybe bottom nine.
When we worked the
– when someone worked a walk, and the pitcher – yeah, you worked the watch.
Oh,
and
it was this guy right here.
It was two more – he pitched two more balls after that. Yep. For the next batter, which was like everyone was going nuts down there, which the energy, all I can hear so much from center field, but the energy behind home plate must have been crazy today.
I was going to say,
I mean, you want to talk about a momentum shift. It's like going down 0-2, I believe it was 0-2. Yeah. It's like if there's one person I know to trust that bat to that has a good eye, it's this guy, because I do not like facing him when we play in our squad. Because I can't tell you how many times I'll throw a good pitch, and he's just like, he pokes it or he fouls it off. And I'm just like, I can say, I think I've gotten you once in my career striking out.
Yes.
Very lucky. Very lucky, I'll say that much. But, yeah, like, it's just the fact that you go from 0-2 to working a walk, I mean, that right there, that was probably the biggest at-bat of the game. So the tip of the cap there, and then obviously the nice bunt by Joey.
Yes.
And then Kyle with the steamer up the middle. But
the velocity on that ball was hit 27 miles an hour up the middle.
That's incredible. And I said going into that inning, the guy I was working with, I'm like, look, this is how it's going to go. Luter's going to get on base. He's going to get the second somehow, whether it's a steal or a sack bunt, and then he will score. Bing, bang, boom.
There we go. You called it.
Picture perfect baseball right there.
That is for sure. So let's talk about before coming to Seton Hall. So what was it like playing in your high school career, and do you have any, like, crazy high school memories from those 4 years of high school?
Honestly, I mean, yeah, but the only ones I could think of, they're not good. But I would say, yeah, so starting out, I would say freshman year, I was always a middle infielder, short guy. I mean, still am. Didn't really grow too much since high school, but always a shorter guy, fast. So I always played middle infield, so short, second. And then I was always fast. We needed an outfielder, my freshman year team, and I was like, I'll play outfield. So I started playing outfield, and my brother, who I looked up to a lot, played outfield as well. So that was something I strived to do, and then after that, it just came naturally for me, and I started playing outfield, and it helped me get on, moved up to varsity my sophomore year at the end of the year. And honestly, you know, I didn't pitch that much. I always loved pitching. My brother went to college at Quinnipiac. Mm-hmm. He was a pitcher, so I kind of wanted to strive to be him, which obviously can't always be your brother, which I wanted to do. And for a very long time, it was like, need to be him, need to be a pitcher in college. And when I started out my whole recruiting process, the pitching wasn't working too well. And my travel baseball coach told me, he was like, hey, I think pitching's going to be it. I was throwing like 80 miles an hour. And I'm just like, I don't know what we're seeing here. But I stuck with it for a while, and high school came around. And even my senior year in high school, when I was committed to Seton Hall, I didn't really pitch that much. I probably threw like, I think, 20 innings in high school. So like for someone that was supposed to be a higher recruit in my respective league, I didn't really throw it all that much. I was more considered valuable as an outfielder than I was a pitcher, which I was kind of like, to my coach, I was like, what do you mean? But the biggest thing, I think, one of the things that hurts a lot is, like, we still see today is my junior year, I hurt my hamstring going into our conference tournament, our sectionals tournament. We were the number one seed. We played the 16 seed. So basically almost like March Madness for us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there. My coach is like, yeah, he's like, just rest up the hamstring. He'll be back maybe for the second round. The round after that, we lost to the 16 seed my junior year. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, not only does that stink, And like you're sitting there, like you're trying to map out like the future, but like that's what I'm trying to talk about, which you see in life and everything, like everything, swimming, baseball. If you think too much in the future, I mean, you never know what's gonna happen at hand. It's like we thought about the second round, third round championship. We didn't even make it past the first, and it's like now I gotta wait a whole 12 months to get back to that spot again. So it was like that was the biggest takeaway I think from my high school career, and then it's still kind of, I guess. Kind of haunts me to this day is like not being able to like have that moment with the team and the group of guys that I had because we were so focused on the like moving forward that moment kind of got the best of us. But other than that, like high school was, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. Sadly didn't have the most like, I guess, statistically best stats, anything like that, but it got me here and it got me to a great program and a great school. So I really can't complain, all things said and done. So.
You were also a track star, right? we gotta bring this up.
Absolutely. I was a fast guy. I still remember.
I have the inside scoop over here. So I gotta bring it up.
I still remember when I came to the Seton Hall baseball prospect camp to like you know show off my skills. I guess we'll say I ran the 60. I'm like, oh, I'm running the 60-yard dash, and so I ran. I felt bad for the kid next to me. And they brought all the pitchers over, so I'm like stretching. All these kids are just like, "Why are we running the 60?" I'm like, "I'm running this thing." So I ran it, and the pitching coach at that time was like, "Are you sure you're like a pitcher?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, realistically, like to be an outfielder, but like here I am. So what am I gonna do? But yeah, track was definitely something I always got like, "Come on, like let's do it." Like my friend always told me, and then I did it, and it was a blast. I do not miss the practices though. The running was horrible.
Like these guys over here.
I mean, not to get off topic, but Coach Moran had us do like a swimming competition. I don't know if you guys remember, we used the pool at one point at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Horrible. Horrible. And like, I thought I was a decent swimmer, but like, let me tell you, I thought I was going to throw up. He had us do like, I think, well, it's 50 meters, right? One length.
Two ways is 50 yards. One way is 25 yards.
One way is 25?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to start doing math, but either way, I think we did four total lengths of the pool, and I was ready to just like, I was like, no. Not to mention, I thought it was a little warmer, but I was cold too. I was cold in that pool. I was like shivering.
Oh, that pool
so I was like,
is cold. And when the heater breaks, whoo, really cold.
But yeah, not to get off topic, but you want to talk about cardio. I don't think I'll be jumping in a pool to do that anytime soon again, but.
Edge had the best quote about the swimming thing. He's like, I went to go swim one time, like in an off period, and I'm swimming, and I looked up. I thought I've been swimming for an hour. It's been 6 minutes.
It's sneaky. It's sneaky.
Oh, it's definitely sneaky.
Yeah.
But give the props to those milers, that two of which went swam in Florida this past week at basically the NIT of swimming.
Yeah.
And props to them. Like, they are swimming nonstop at time. Like, their Tuesday, Thursday practices, it's just like, okay, we're going to start at 4. You'll stop at 6. Have fun. Go, basically.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah. It's nuts.
I don't think my body would work. Let alone, like, running that long.
Oh, my gosh. It's a full-body workout.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get back to how – so you were also a position player in high school.
Yeah.
Like, you had the – you obviously a really fast sprinter. You were very athletic. And I think that helps you to your advantage today, pitching, for sure. Like, how good you are off the mound, the pickoffs and all that. And that – like, not a lot of guys have that, but since you had that to get to start for being a position player and really athletic beforehand, that helps you pitch now, I think, for sure. And you've grown so much pitching-wise. I mean, I didn't see your freshman year or anything like that, but to see overall how far you've come has been awesome. What advice would you have for someone who doesn't start necessarily where they want to start, like maybe like a guy who throws a ton of innings or throws a high VO fastball? What advice would you be for someone like a freshman or a sophomore who doesn't have that to keep on working toward like your senior years and along those lines?
Let me take a sip of water before I get into it.
Yeah, that was a mouthful right there.
You know, it's tough because, I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you guys if I didn't have a long and treacherous road before like my first 3 years because like they didn't go the way like you want to plan. And I think the biggest thing is – that you mentioned is like staying on the path and staying the course the way we talk about it a lot with anything in life. It's because you see certain people that strive for a job or a certain goal in life and they don't get it for 20 years. But it's like, it's the dedication, the commitment that you have that gets you there. And I'm not going to sit here and say that a lot of times during my career that I didn't stray away from that approach where, like, you work really hard, you do a lot, and then you don't get the results you want, and you want to keep going, and then you don't get the opportunity. So it's like you go, all right, well, then why am I going to keep going with this? And there's been times where, like, you just kind of mail it in and you don't want to show up. And that's the hard part. It's like staying with the process, and as cliche and corny as that sounds, you know, everybody says trust the process. I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than that. Because if you stay the course and you do everything that you needed to get done, eventually you will be rewarded. And if you're not, maybe it won't be in your sport or your respected, whatever job you are in. Maybe something else down the road will come your way. So I think to younger people or people that do maybe have the skill set and are seeing the results that they want, just stay the course. Don't try to deviate too far from or try to change who you are, because at the end of the day, if you change who you are and you try to become someone different, you're not gonna be the person you truly want to be.
That's awesome. And I think from, like, a leadership standpoint, like, all the experience you have helps everyone. And not only that, like, it's kind of a lighter note too, all the experience you've gathered too, like, you bring, I mean, you're always making guys laugh, and that brings guys together. So not only the experience you have and leadership you have, like, you make guys laugh, and you have a lot of experiences that, like, a lot of guys can relate to. And I think we know exactly what we're talking about here. And I think for you not starting where you wanted to start to where you are now, you can help out so many people. And I've already seen that happen. And I think we obviously really appreciate everything you do there. And the picture you are now, we obviously love seeing you on the field. So really good stuff there. So thank you.
Thank you, John. You're going to make me tear up over here.
Get us up your water.
So I'm going to get myself my water. This is my recovery right here.
Yeah. So talk about what that transition was like from high school to college baseball. Because I feel like in a lot of ways, getting to that college, that next level of sport, especially the college level, is a huge transition for anybody. So talk about what that transition was like for you.
You know, and not to keep bringing up the same stuff, having my brother play at a school already and kind of telling me, like, hey, this is going to be a lot for you, definitely helped. I definitely think it helps that people coming in with a little bit of some lifting background, anything being in shape just helps, like something to build off of helps. So I think even with that, though, like, we still were doing 6 a.m. lifts, waking up at 5:15, if that 5:30 rolling out of bed, getting to the rec for Ange's whole nice cardio circuit in the morning, seal jacks, jumping jacks, whatever it is. He's going to be mad at me for saying this. I already know it. But, you know, I mean, it definitely is something. Like, you get some guys that, like, first morning lift, they're not ready for how fast paced it is. So it's like some guys, like, almost throw up because it's like, wow, like, it's a lot of stuff in a short amount of time and you need to be ready for it. And I think on top of that is managing, especially freshman year, you come in, your classes, like, you, for the most part, you probably don't get the best scheduling. Like, Guybel does a great job with that, getting us the schedules. But as freshmen, it's kind of hard to kind of pick what you want to do. By that spring semester, you usually have a better idea. Mm-hmm. But it's like you could be going from 6 a.m. lift to you go to the calf, get a quick bite to eat, 8 a.m. class all the way till 12 o'clock. Then you have 12:30 practice. It's like it's a lot on the body. And then on top of that, you have to do schoolwork. So it's honestly, it's just trying to manage your time as much as you can. And that means staying up later, waking up earlier to get your work done prior to the things you have going on in the day. That's what it is. And obviously some people, myself included, you know, you get a little lazy sometimes. It's hard. It's hard because you want to relax, but we all know that relaxing, sometimes you don't really have a chance to do. So it's really just kind of getting acclimated to the work and your schedule and making the most of it. I think that's the biggest thing that kind of I realized through freshman and sophomore year.
And especially for us, too, like, we both had study hall, like the study hall hours. Hall was like 6 hours.
I think it was 6 hours, yeah.
Like, you, like, knew your schedule, like, at least for the baseball. It's like it's for all sports, but I just remember similar to what you're saying, like, you have 6 a.m. lift, then you go to class, then you eat quick, then go to practice, and then after practice, like for the freshmen and sophomores, or mostly just freshmen, it's study hall, and then you do rinse, repeat, same thing again. So the time to relax is like not as much time as you would like it to be, and it's just kind of just time figuring out what your time management is, and it's not easy, but it's kind of like just getting through it. So yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, I agree totally. I think we had 4 hours of study hall because we were in competition. But we didn't have to do the 6 because of COVID my freshman year.
Oh, yeah.
And now there's no more study hall hours, like, at all.
Been around a while.
Yeah. We've all been around a while. We've all been around a while.
Wow, yeah.
It's been crazy. So what is it like getting the opportunity to play here at the hall for so many years? And any favorite memories you've had so far?
I mean, tons of favorite memories. And the thing is, like, I'll sit here and say some, if I could think of some very good ones, absolutely. And I'll probably forget some, or I'll remember them later on. But I think, like, just knowing so many people, like, having this many, like, different classes of, like, seniors, like, before me, and now even with me being older as I am, like, still having seniors, it's, like, you get to see so many different faces and different characters. And, like, I met some of the, trying to be nice here, funkiest characters I've ever met in my life. Like, some of the most, like, the craziest but in the nicest way people yeah. I've ever met have come here. And I'm sure I'll be like that when I meet more people down the road. But it's just, like, the different, like, personalities that I've gotten to meet, it's just awesome. And it's helped me build who I am. And, like, the different coaches I've had, the different people I've met throughout my process here is, like, that's what made me come back. It's not just, like, the team and the culture and, like, the family, like, we have here. It's all the people between, as simple as the staff that works here, the athletics department, the teammates, the other teams, I mean, I could sit here forever. I'm kind of rambling my words now, but you understand what I mean. Yeah, everybody involved in the rec center and from there on out, it's like just seeing those people and making a smile. Even Mary at the front desk. Mm-hmm. Every day, walk by her when I go to the coach's office. Hey, how are you doing? Like, how's your day going? Awesome. Like, makes my day just to be able to say that to her. So it's like stuff like that, simple stuff, like people remembering you and you remembering them for this long. It's awesome. So, I mean, that's one thing. And memory-wise, might be here a while. I'm trying to think of my favorite memory. Like, I mean, between beating UNC last year, just the season in general last year, like, very good season. No-hitter my junior year.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
We could go down all the years here. I don't know. Just, like, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff I can't think of right now, but there's been so many, like, it's just incredible. And that's why I love the sport so much, because there's so many little things that go, like, unseen, especially, like, behind the scenes, too. Like, even just, like, the locker room, like, memories, stuff like that, just funny stuff. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So, especially dorm room life, like, long time ago at this point, but, like, even stuff like that, being with all the guys on one floor, which maybe sometimes wasn't also the best, you know, but it was a really good time. And I think that's where a lot of the memories come from, especially like having the group of guys that I came in with for the most part, like staying their full length of time here was really, really cool.
Yeah, that is for sure. And us being fifth years, getting to have similar memories of like meeting different people and seeing the same people overall, like you said, within athletics. So what were some of the reasons why you stayed an extra 2 years?
That's a great question. So the first, I'll try to make this as quick as I can without going over the other interview I did. But, so the first 3 years really didn't obviously see much playing time. So I knew I had the COVID year under my belt. So I was like, all right, like senior year, like didn't really have a role going into that year, even as a senior. So I was like, I'm just going to, whatever happens, happens. And then I'm going to take my grad year and I'll go somewhere else. And I'm getting some opportunities. I had a pretty good season. I remember Coach Shep coming up to me like the weekend before Butler, which was literally the last flight the last weekend we had. He's like, hey, like, what's your plans for next year? And I'm just like, now this guy asked me this. I'm like, because like at the time I was like 95% sure that I was going to go. And that wasn't like I just wanted to go explore my options, see if I could go somewhere else and play a little more. But when he asked me, I was like, all right, now I'm like 90% sure I'm not coming back. And then we had a coaching change, and I talked with some of the other guys like Brennan O'Neill, Nick Piero, and we talked about how Alex Clyde and talked about coming, like, let's just come back one more year, like one last run. So we all talked about it, and it was, why not? And we knew we had a good team coming back. A lot of question marks, new coaches, same team, maybe not the best stats we wanted to as last year, but as you can see, like, it all worked out. We didn't finish how we wanted to, but, like, looking back, great decision. And then my junior year, that was the year I got back for this year. I threw 4 pitches at FAU, thought my elbow was gone. I got taken out. I think I was throwing live, like, next week. But, like, at the time, I thought I did something to my arm, and I never pitched again after that. So I was kind of joking around with Coach Moran and our trainers. I was like, I'll be coming back next year. I was like, I might have another year in the works. Kind of joking, but like as the season went, I was like, I don't know if I really want to give this up. So I really pushed it, and they helped get all the paperwork together from 3 years ago at this point, and I had the documentation I needed. And after like a month of getting the papers out to who I needed to and getting it back, I still remember I had a missed call from Coach Moran on my phone. And I was like, for some reason, I was like, why do I have a feeling this means? Like, so I went right to my email, and I saw email from Tatum and Sean McCarthy both saying, like, you got your year back. And I was just kind of like, I was in awe. I was like, how? And I was like, okay. So then it became like, now what am I going to do? And, you know, as a respect for the school and who I've been with and knowing I had a group of older guys that were coming back that I knew of, it was a hard decision. But if my only decision for not coming back was going to be because I didn't get to experience something new, then what's the reason not to come back and have another year with Seton Hall? So, and at the end of the day, I get to get finished my master's here. I get 6 years of baseball experience, a great group of guys, a great coaching staff. It was a no-brainer. And it took some time. It was definitely a tough decision, but I think I made the right decision, and I know I did. So it's good.
I remember calling you after that. I was so excited that you were coming back. First off, that you got the year back.
Yeah.
And then that you were coming back after that, because obviously living together, that was a whole big factor too. But just, again, I'm not going to like reiterate, but the presence that – I'm going to go ahead and reiterate. The presence that you have on the team and the leadership they provide is like just paramount also to like what you do on the field. And like that matters like so much. And RB talks about all the time, like it's matter. Like who are you off the field with the guys and teammates in the locker room, all that. That matters a lot, and that's who you are. So having you come back was huge. I'm so happy that you got that year. And it was funny. It was like, hey, don't know what's going to happen in Caroline. Our trainer was like, not sure if it's going to work. Yeah. I remember overhearing a conversation. Not sure if it's going to happen, but we'll see. Then here we are. So,
yeah.
It's awesome.
I know. I'm pretty sure. Sean McCarthy was like, I don't know how, but here you go. Like, you got it. I was like, all right, well, thanks for, like, you know, thanks for the help. But, well, you know, let's be happy I'm back, you know? But, no, great guy, and it wouldn't honestly have been done if they didn't help me out with it too. So I really appreciate not only the training staff, but also the, I'm trying to think of the right word.
Compliance.
There we go. Compliance. Yeah. It's bad. Shout they're going to rip into me for that, but compliance. Yes. It's compliance.
Take that year back.
Yeah. But yeah, it was definitely crazy news. I remember still telling my mom it when I woke up in the morning. I told my dad, and my dad's one person that not only my parents been like such a big influence for, my dad loves baseball, and I don't think he was ready to give it up yet too.
Yeah.
Because he loves coming to the games, he loves watching it. It's like, he'll text me after the game, he'll be like, hey, great job today. I'm like, I just talked to him after the game with my brother, and I go back to my phone with a text message from him, like, great job today. Oh, it's like, I just saw you. But it's like, that's just who he is, and that's who my parents are, and it's like, without them, I wouldn't be here either, so it's awesome.
It's amazing. So now that you've been here for a couple of years, what does a week look like for you? Has that changed at all over your 6 years, and or has it been relatively the same? And what goes into each week for you?
You know, now honestly, it depends on like the classes throughout the year. So there's been some times where my schedule isn't that taxing, and there's sometimes like now I'm still taking a lot of classes trying to finish up my master's. So I would say really like, in season, it's getting the work done, especially on those Mondays. Mondays are huge, getting the work done. That's your off day. It's like, try to get as much done as you can. But I think, like, last year I got so lucky because at the time I just did the MBA certificate.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, I think it was 20 credits overall. I did, like, 12 or 14 credits in the fall, and then it was only 6 in the spring.
Oh, that's
nice. I was done after spring break. I was playing pickleball as my part-time job last year. That's what I did. I didn't have any classes, so it was awesome. But now, and it's like now, it's like I wish I would have known I had this 6 year available, because like I could have done some more classes. Because now I'm back to being in real life. So it stinks, but it definitely changed throughout the years. Freshman year was very taxing. Sophomore year, my scheduling, I got lucky. I remember I got to come back from lifts, and Alex Clyde was my roommate, and I would come back and I would go to sleep from like 8 a.m. till practice at 1, and it was amazing. Oh, Tuesday, man. Thursdays, I made sure I set up my schedule. I thought I was awesome for that. I was like, oh, it's like I had this set in stone. I was like, this is great. And then junior year, I remember, it was a tough one. And senior year, well, I don't think it was anything too crazy. But like I said, it's just all about managing and doing the stuff. I came in with a lot of college credits, which helped me too. But you also have to maintain a certain amount of credits to be eligible. So it's like I had to pick up another major, which was kind of like a weird spot too. So just to be eligible, because you're not, which I've had this happen to me now 4 years in a row, it's like making sure that year of graduating, as long as it's not your last semester, you need to have, I think it was 12 credits to be eligible. So unless you're graduating, so like for you guys right now, it would be you could take one class, but it has to be your graduating semester. So that for me was a couple of years running, but here we are now, taking a lot more credits than I'd like to be taking. But
I wish I was taking one class right now instead of taking 15 credits worth of classes, so five classes. It's been brutal. Brutal. But we'll be done by May. And actually, I have one more class from May to July. But we are on the tail end.
Summer class, you'll be all right.
Oh, yeah. It's all online, too. Yeah. It'll be great. So let's talk a little MLB baseball, shall we? And I know you're a huge Yankees fan, and we're coming up on the season to remember. Obviously, the big news with Gerrit Cole going down with the elbow.
Don't even get me started.
But I think, what have you thought about the offseason? And I think the big storyline is some of these big names still not getting signed, like a Blake Snell.
Oh, yeah.
And a Jordan Montgomery still not getting signed. So what are your thoughts about that?
You know, I follow this account, just like the Yankee Report on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And, like, they really had to go out. After finding out that Gerrit Cole was like, great, okay, there's no damage to the UCL. Okay, great, but, like, let's not get down for 2 months. Let's you know, if nothing's wrong, let's just build it up. A little soreness won't hurt. Buddy's our workhorse. We need him. Then I see breaking news, and it's a picture of Nestor Cortez, and I'm like, what? You don't put breaking news. And then I scroll. I'm sitting there. I'm saying a prayer. I'm like, it just says opening day starter. I'm like, what are we doing? I'm like, don't put breaking news. I don't need to know breaking news. Like, that's something you do, like, oh, out for the season or, like, getting an MRI. Right. So I was like, all right, that scared me. But then, like, you know, there's rumors about Marcus Stroman not wanting to take the nod for opening day start. He's getting a lot of, you know, so it's just, my thing is, like, if Gerrit Cole did go down with a season-ending injury, if you don't unload the boat of money for Blake Snell, I don't know what you do. And Jordan Montgomery, I loved him as a Yankee. Yeah. And he went out and pitched, and he showed he can do it in playoff baseball. So I wouldn't mind even having him back. But I think definitely it'd be nice to have, especially with the Dodgers just, you know, becoming an absolute. It's just, it's not even fair. I mean, between them, the Braves, it's like, I'll shout out Thomas Cardona for the Phillies because, you know, he thinks they're amazing. And they're not a bad team either, but they didn't make any moves. So
that's a courtesy shout out, by the way. Courtesy.
Courtesy. Courtesy shout out. That's all it is. I don't want them getting too, you know, too big. But what is it? Oh, once, I mean, we cannot talk about Soto. I mean, that's awesome. Having someone to be around Judge is definitely like,
right.
Because, I mean, you need someone else. And their lineup's good, but having that other superstar in the lineup to piece together, it's a scary, like, 1-2-3, like, between any, depending on if they want to do LeMahieu, like, I don't know where they're going to plug in Rizzo, but Judge, Soto, Stanton, it's like those three guys right there, I would not want to face. Because at any point you make a mistake, that ball's going 500 feet. So, yeah.
And not for anything, too. Like, to have the ballpark, like the hitter's ballpark at Yankee Stadium for Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And if everyone stays healthy, I mean, staying healthy is a key thing. Availability.
Very
key.
Especially
with Judge and Stanton, those big guys. Like, it's a very and Judge, Stanton, and Soto, like, it's a very dangerous home run combination right there.
Formidable, to say the least. Yeah. And then Spencer Jones, who's looked fantastic.
Thankfully,
they didn't use him as a piece to get Dylan Cease, which
would have been nice. In the talks. It would have been nice, but I'm trying to think. One of our old, Blaze Panzini, one of our old guys, says proven MLB talent, like, beats prospects all day, which is true, but then you get some guys, it's like, who did, I think Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what he turned into. I forgot who they gave up for that, but nothing. I mean, you want to look about a deal that changed a pro. I mean, I can't even think of the right
one. Yeah. He was a Yankee in the
I think he was a Dodger. I think
he might have been Dodger. Yeah. Like changing an organization. Okay, I mean, that right there, he got traded away for like nothing.
Yeah.
Look it up right now. Really? But it just literally nothing. And he turned into just one of the best lefty bats in all of baseball. Yeah.
So he was now on Astro from the beginning. I didn't
know. No, he was not.
It was a really, really low-level trade, like beginning of April trade, and like make
just like no headline.
Yeah,
nothing. Yeah,
wow. Nothing. So, and then you also have Jason Dominguez, who might come back to hit this year. So there's a lot of upside. I think this, as a Yankees fan myself as well, the scariest thing with Cole possibly going down for, well, we know extended time, but possibly done for the season. Trying to re-sign Soto next offseason.
Yeah.
That's the biggest go-get. Like, you have to re-sign him if you're a Yankee, because you need someone around Judge, as you talked about. So what do you think your World Series prediction is? I know it's way too early. I know we're in March. But do you have a prediction, way too early prediction, that we can say back now in next October and say, ha, he's got it. He's got the prediction down pat.
Wow. I want to go off the rails here and say something crazy, but I'm not. Dodgers won't be in it. Not a chance. They always find a way just to not. they will. No, it's just incredible. We'll just sign everybody, and then we'll just blow it in the playoffs. But although I could see them easily just destroying everybody, but I'm gonna go with no for them. I'm going Braves. Once again, sorry, Thomas Cardona, no Phillies. Braves.
No losing NLCS, right?
Yeah. Bryce can only take you so far.
The AL is a weird bunch.
It is because it's like my sneaky pick was going to be the Orioles.
Ooh.
But like
they're young.
But I mean, listen, they proved last year how much.
Yeah.
But
is Texas going to be the same? Probably not.
I don't see now. So, you know, just because I have to do it, I'm going to say the Yankees. It's just going to be done. I can't not be a Yankees fan and not say the Yankees, especially after last year. Like this is a big year. Not only for the organization, but just for, like, re-signing purposes, too.
Yeah.
So it's, like, especially for Soto, like, if they can go far and he has a good year and he likes the nice short porch over there, like, mm-hmm. I think he'll re-sign. So that's definitely a lot of pressure this year. So we'll see.
We'll see. I'm hopeful. I have a buddy, Jonathan Ware, who's a huge Houston Astros fan, and for the past 5 years, all I've heard is how good his Astros are, and I can't stand it anymore.
Sick and tired of it. Stamp it down right now. Braves versus Yankees.
I like it.
Love it.
I like
the date.
Mark at the date.
Cool.
March 17th, 2024, Braves-Yankees.
Awesome. Well, so winding out of time here, we're a little over a half hour, so we're moving to our last two segments, Advice to Pirate and Walk the Plank. And similar to the question I asked before, but our Advice to Pirate question is, being here for such an extended amount of time, what advice would you give Seton Hall athletes to keep the same competitive drive each year?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
With you being as competitive as you are on the mound and everything like that, we wanted to kind of see what your take is on
this. Yeah, that's hard. I mean, I already said it 15 times earlier. I'm sure I'll get a lot of hate for that, saying staying the course. But I really think just honestly, like, making sure that you don't make moments too, like, bigger than they are, and realizing that, like, we have a long season ahead of us. Like, we still have a lot of games left.
Right.
So I think the biggest thing is just making sure you take those small victories, because you're not just going to win the Big East like this. It's not just going to happen. And let's say you don't get to where you want to be last year. That doesn't mean that next year's a whole new year, a whole new time to be involved with your teammates, like your coaches, to make sure, like, you don't lose sight of the fact, well, we didn't get to where we wanted to go last year, so, like, this year is just like, all right, I guess, like, it's just another year. Like, no, like, every year it's a clean slate, and I think making sure you realize that, like, you have to make sure those 4 years of eligibility that you have, that you make the most of them. And obviously we've all experienced COVID, so that was obviously something else that definitely threw us for a little bit of a curveball. I think a lot of us know that maybe that year we thought was our year, and then it just gets shut down. The following year, you add a new team in the conference. Things don't go your way. There's all these. I'm getting a swab up my nose every Sunday. It's like, what are we doing? So it's like, there's a lot of, like, it's just being able to adapt. I think that's honestly the best thing I could say, is just, like, being able to make, like, the changes that you and the adjustments you need to make to make sure you're ready to compete, because it is. They're long seasons, and it's hard because they're physically demanding, mentally demanding. Just making sure that you don't make moments too big, and just make sure you can make the changes when you need to and not be too worked up if it doesn't work out. And I think that's the biggest thing I could say.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love that.
Beautifully said. So going into our last segment, Walk the Plank, these are quicker styled questions, but if you have to explain yourself, go, feel free to. So what is your dream stadium to play in?
Yankee Stadium.
Of course. Love it. Of course. Love it. Favorite game day snack?
Oh.
Stomped him.
The thing is, like, I don't have a game day snack, but I mean, I'll say, since I wake up every day for the most part, Town Hall breakfast sandwich. Very good breakfast sandwich. Ooh,
shout out, just found out about them. We've been here for what, 5 years, and I never knew that deli was over there.
Let me tell you, incredible. Great sandwiches, but their breakfast sandwich.
Okay, I'll have to go stop over there one of these times. Go-to pump-up song.
I really don't know. I don't think I even have one.
What's your walkout song?
I mean, I could say public service announcement. That's my walk, but like that's not my go-to. That's more of like my, you know, I know the song very well. I get to like, it gets me in my groove on the mound.
Yeah.
We'll just say that for that purpose because I can't think of like my go-to song. I can't think of like that song. Like you get one song, like you got to sing it. Like I'd be screwed. I don't know. I really don't. It's bad. As old as I am, I don't have a song.
That's all right.
That's okay.
I ran out of water. I have nothing to grab. Like I'm red. I'm doing. Let me get a squirt here.
There you go.
Donate. All right, good. It's like my nervous tick over here. I'm just like.
Next one. We've been asking all the student athletes this question: hot tub or cold tub guy, or do you do both?
Yeah, I do both, but everybody's gonna say hot tub because, I mean, I don't mind the cold tub. Well, for people like you over there, and I don't know about you. Guy's a crazy person, takes cold showers for fun. So, I mean, but we'll get that out of the way. But I like doing the cold tub, but I'm a big contrast guy. I'm a big go in the cold tub. I haven't done it in a long time. So I don't want anybody thinking I go in all the time. But like, if I'm going to go in the cold tub, you better bet I'm going in the hot tub after the warm up a little bit. Yeah. And then I'll just sit in there and I'll melt for a while. But yeah. Well,
the surprising thing is we have had a guy who say he prefers the cold tub over the hot tub. Gennarino Conzemius on the Big East preview episode. He's like, yeah, cold tub all day. No joke. I'm like, I was shocked. I made sure. I'm like, hey, are you sure? Yeah.
It's going on air. Like, it's going out to the public.
No, and he was like, yeah, cold tub it is. I'm like, you were kind of the first and possibly last person, I think, to say that, to prefer the cold tub. Because I don't prefer the cold tub. I'll sit in there for 10, 12 minutes, but I don't love it.
No, I'm in that same boat, Tony, actually. I'm in that same boat.
How are you now?
Okay. Favorite lift to do downstairs with Ange?
Squat.
Easy peasy. Favorite player?
In what aspect?
MLB.
Oh, MLB, I was going to say. I was like, you put me on the spot in front of him.
No.
I hate that. I mean, I got to be it. Just, does it be active?
No.
We'll just say Derek Jeter. I know it's going to be very, you know, but that's who it was growing up. That was my.
Yeah, love it.
But, yeah.
Hometown kid for me. Derek Jeter, born in Pequannock, New Jersey. Hometown right here. Chilton Hospital, right across the street from my high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Legend. Was there for 24 seconds, but, hey, I can say that's why.
That's fair.
Who is one MLB player that you resemble your game after?
I wouldn't say resemble my game, but just someone that I used to watch a lot of video on is Sonny Gray.
Mm.
Correlation, short guy, short pitcher. So that, but just being like watching a lot of video, big on YouTube, watching like all of his mechanics, I would say that was the guy. Also helps that like I said, was my height. So I thought like that's who I had to model. Marcus Stroman's another one. It's now a Yankee too. Someone I always watch video of. It's like, all right, I need to move like that because my body's this tall. I'm not growing. He's this tall. He's throwing hard. Let me just do what he does. It'll work out. Can't say it has, but like, you know, small victories. Small victories.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course. And last one for me, in one word, describe your playing style.
Just say competitive. I mean, as much as I could say, just aggressive. Sometimes maybe not in the channeled in the way I want it to be, but most of the time I would just say like, I want to think of the right way. Just competitive, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see it on the mound each and every time you go out there, especially big strikeout today and the energy coming off that mound. You could see it. It's electric, and it fires the guys up on the field and in the dugout, so you definitely can see that competitive drive no matter what.
Yeah, I would say that definitely fits you perfectly. I know everyone loves when you get on the mound because you always know you're locked in, you're ready to roll, and you want it so bad. So that does it for me.
Yeah, that does it for me.
Anything else you want to add? We'll wrap things up here.
I really don't know. Like, I want to give a shout out to someone or something, but like, I don't want to make, But I can't think of that. So it's just like, just go Pirates, and thank you guys for having me. Like, yeah, this was awesome. And I respect a lot of what you guys have been doing. I know you guys have been grinding real hard this entire year, and I think this is something that's really cool, and I hope we continue to do for athletes and whoever else comes in the future. So
yeah, that's awesome. Sure. That's the goal. Yeah, so thank you again for so much for coming up and right after a game, no matter, taking some time out of your day. And hopefully, as a school, we find out later today, this is going to come out next Monday, the 25th. But hopefully we're dancing, but we'll find out. Some cool content coming out this week. Thanks, and we will see you next time. So thank you so much.
Of course. Awesome. Thank you.